Hello and welcome, fellow awesomeologists to Awesomeology. I'm Sue.
And I'm Ben, and in this episode, we're talking about why marketers can't afford to ignore AI, especially now that tools like ChatGPT are changing how people find and interact with information.
Yeah, so we started off...
ChatGPT, we got to talk about it.
Oh, for pity's sake. Oh, for cute.
We should probably start over. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Everybody stays outside in. Of the upper Midwest is like, oh my gosh.
Stop.
Is this like a Fargo episode I need to listen to for the next?
You should. So we started off the beginning. Sometimes I am really aware of how thick my accent is, and sometimes I forget about it.
That makes one of us.
Okay. So we started off 2025 and actually like into the end of 2024. Cautiously looking at AI and thinking about how it looked on our team. And we knew we had a lot to learn about how it fits into our workflow and how we can use it, not ignore it, but how we can improve efficiency, all of those things. And it was, we really applied this cautious approach. And now 6 months later, everything's changing. AI is everywhere. The conversation is completely different. How like life? I mean, people are using ChatGPT now instead of Google for a ton of stuff. We've spent so much time, how many years, trying to figure out what does Google want? And now people are going to ChatGPT instead for... finding things, comparing things, finding recipes, gift ideas, researching products, therapy, as we discussed last week. So it's worth having this conversation. Like, where are we at? What do we know? And I think I should tag in a quick little disclaimer here to tell the listeners we're learning all this stuff in real time.
Right.
And we don't claim... any special expertise.
Right.
We can tell you what we know and that we have more to learn.
Yeah.
And we have things to try.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not an AI agency.
Right.
We are users of AI, and it's becoming daily more and more implemented into our workflows and procedures and all of that good stuff. I do want to just... also mention for anyone that might have heard the intro and is freaking out on any level, which might be people's reaction to talking about AI almost anytime. But actually, our good buddy Dean from Mission Disrupt, who was a guest recently, I don't know, 6 months ago-ish, maybe, I don't know.
What is time?
Something like that. Shared some really cool information on LinkedIn about how, yes, like everything you said is true. Like, people are using ChatGPT as kind of like primary search tool now more than ever. And Google search inquiries are also up year over year. So like, people I think are just like, as more and more people are more comfortable with going to the internet for information, they're searching all over the place, including Google, which is still incredibly popular, and their data shows that it's actually up. But there is this super powerful new thing, not just ChatGPT, but AI and several platforms that people are using to get their info right away too. So don't feel like, you know, anything that we're going to say is telling you to pull the ripcord on Google and understanding how that works. And spoiler alert, they're using AI too. So, it's just it's another tool in people's tool belts now, for sure, and a really popular one.
Yes, and spoiler alert, as we look ahead to the things that we know that we're going to talk about later, some of the advice for optimizing for AI echoes what we're optimizing for on Google.
Right, yeah.
So, and some of it doesn't. Some of it maybe the emphasis of what we were doing is changing, shifting, or I don't know. And maybe it's more a thing that it is a mindset of shifting away from gaming Google to just doing the things and creating good things and putting them out there and making them available.
Totally.
Which is what you should have been doing on Google.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Anyway, because we were going to be talking about ChatGPT, and because ChatGPT also helped me with the notes for today's podcast, I wanted to give it a chance to... I told it I was going to talk about it. We were going to talk about it today. I wanted to give it a chance to get the first word here. So I asked it for a quote to get us started, and here's what it said. Hi, I'm ChatGPT. An AI developed by OpenAI, and I'm excited, parentheses, and maybe just a little self-aware, scary, and parentheses, to be a part of today's conversation. Marketers like you are starting to use tools like me, not just to speed up work, but to rethink how people find and engage with information. Whether someone's planning a trip, researching a product, or writing an email, AI is becoming the first stop instead of Google search. I don't replace human creativity, but I do amplify it. And the smart marketers are the ones learning how to make the most of that shift. You buying it? This is what ChatGPT's selling us.
Yeah, very intentional response from ChatGPT, letting us know that it's maybe just a little self-aware and it should, we should be going there instead of Google first. Pretty interesting.
Right, right.
But also, can you deny any of it? So, yeah. Well, hey, let's dive in and talk about that big line in there about AI being a first stop for search instead of Google, right? So we're going to share a link to a really cool article that shares some pretty interesting information about some of these chatbots. Just a couple of quick numbers that I want to call out. ChatGPT has experienced... unmatched growth, the speed of their growth. So they set the record for 100 million users in just 64 days
following
when ChatGPT 3.5 launched. So again, 100 million users in 64 days. Unbelievable.
So, and they waited those extra 4 days just so they could hit that 100 million mark too.
Right, yeah. So that makes it the fastest growing consumer software in history. To date, like you said, in 6 months it'll all change, right?
Right.
As of May 2025, it still commands the lion's share of the generative AI market, around 59.7% of people going to ChatGPT first. So pretty amazing. So, and that's amongst other generative AI platforms. Last thing I'll share, despite rising competition, ChatGPT's early mover advantage and ongoing upgrades, so 4.0, 4.1, 4.5, have all cemented it as the default choice across development, enterprise, education, and content workflows. So it's not just search. It's like it being a tool that's integrated and brought into platforms that all kinds of industries and verticals are using, right? Whether that's business, education, it's... Said right. As simply as possible, it is changing the way that all kinds of people and organizations work. Full stop.
Period.
Yeah.
And I would imagine it's part of it is the, it becomes the relationship you have with ChatGPT, where if you're doing one thing successfully with it and you learn it can do something else, well, now you've built this trusted relationship. So you're going to refer to it for that next thing and the next thing.
Yeah.
And what I have noticed as I'm using it, that it is also pretty adept at saying, oh, well, I could also do this.
Right.
Oh, what if I did that instead?
Yeah. Do you want me to take this and do that with it?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. So it is aware that it can build this, I mean, aware in quotes.
Right.
But it is programmed to build that continuing trust and relationship and get you to do more things in it and become more sort of reliant on it to make your workflow. And no doubt there's an efficiency there.
For sure. Oh, yeah.
But that it's just the more we build that relationship, the more we're going to keep referring back to it. So the question is, now you pointed out that Google's also continuing to grow in search. But if people, you know, Google's sort of a one-trick pony. in terms of search. And I think there have been enough, there's been enough chatter about some things people are dissatisfied about with Google, like the fact that you can't, it's hard to get past the sponsored parts of Google to actually get to the things you're searching for.
Right.
And certain things that are, that Google is giving priority on your search page are not what you're looking for.
Right.
So you have to dig to actually get to what you're looking for. That, coupled with this growing relationship with any AI, not just ChatGPT, but it becoming this trusted resource, I think leads to people just starting to skip Google and move over to ChatGPT, which leads us to the question, if we've spent all of this time trying to optimize for Google, how do we make sure our content is going to get found if people are looking in ChatGPT? And I think, and by no means do I have the perfect answer to that.
Yeah.
I think this is one of those things we have to experiment with.
Yeah.
And I think we have a unique advantage in ChatGPT in that we can search in there as a user looking for our stuff and get what that user experience is, which I suppose we can also do in Google to some extent, but if we're doing it, we're doing it on our work PCs, and we've already done a lot of things on our own website on those work PCs.
Yeah.
So I think that affects the results probably significantly.
Yeah.
So anyway, long way to say, what do we do? How do we get that content found? How do the people that trust us to tell them the answer to this get their content found?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, probably a less than perfect or right answer from us for now, but hey, we said we weren't experts in
this. It's true.
But a couple of things that we know are proven to be things that you can do. And it's all valid based on what generative and large language language models are as opposed to Google search, right? Mm-hmm. These are two very different things. So first thing is no more rigid keyword strings. And the example that we'll use is someone looking for running shoes. So if I was trying to build content or a search campaign or something like that for Google exclusively, at least in the way that we have known Google to work historically, I would probably use a keyword string like best running shoes 2025, the end. Now, if I were to enter that as a prompt into ChatGPT, my results would probably kind of suck. Or ChatGPT would be like, okay, tell me more. What are you looking for?
Right.
And tell me more about you and how do you plan on using these, right? Like they're looking for context, and that's really what we need to shift to is from keywords to context. So instead of that short, rigid keyword string, we would ask something like, what are the best running shoes for flat feet this year? Or what are the best running shoes for gravel in central Wisconsin, you know, whatever, right? Or somebody with, what is it, pronunciation or supination?
Pronation. Or supinate.
Yeah, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, if you know something about yourself or the people that, you know, your product serves or something, that's the kind of context that it needs to give a relevant answer and make sure that you show up. And we also know, like we've talked about, like search engines now are using AI to understand meaning behind your context. So to show up in the results, you need to be genuinely helpful and actually cover your topic in a real way that gives people real information, not just, like you said, kind of hacking Google to get people to show up at your site.
Right, right.
You know, because that is something that Google has done for a long time is connecting search results to relevancy and accuracy, right? So, you know, if you were able to hack it and get somebody to visit your site, but very quickly people realize, yeah, this is what I'm looking for, and they bounce immediately, even though you got them to come to your site, mm-hmm. that does not help you when it comes to ranking and stuff, or historically hadn't helped you, right? So, of course, it's all changing.
Right.
Now, but.
Right.
Like, I think that, like, if there's something that I want, like, myself to remember from this episode, but anybody listening, too, it would be what you said at the top about, like, really, this is what we should have been doing all along mm-hmm. anyway, right? Is, like, connecting people to real results, connecting people to real information, to the context, and not just using the keyword search tool and hacking a result, you know, to get people to land right. on your page. And then, you know, really, you know, maybe depending on what that page included or what was on it, maybe it's driving conversions, maybe it's driving business activity, but also could just be driving, like, page traffic, which mm-hmm. isn't the thing that pays the bills, you know?
Right, right. Well, and it feels positive to someone like myself who, you know, we have talked about plenty. We have talked about the fact that when anything you write, any content you write for your business should be clear. It should be helpful. You should write as a human. It's ironic, I think, that this evolution in AI is really pushing back and being like, oh, well, what if you considered writing the things that you have to offer in a way that humans would understand them? So now yeah. the bots are forcing us to talk to each other.
Yeah.
But to me, that feels like good news mm-hmm. because that's the way that I genuinely believe you connect anything you're doing to the people that will benefit from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, as a marketer who is in the space to benefit people, that means a lot to me.
Right.
So I was never going to get good at keyword stuffing, and I was never going to get good at disingenuous backlink sort of yeah. campaigns. I was never going to get good at that.
Yeah.
But what I and what I think a lot of people can get good at is think about, what does this human being need to hear? What is the compelling message that gets them connected to my product, my service?
Yeah.
And how can I say that in a variety of interesting ways?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I continue to tell the story of that and in new and different ways too?
Yeah.
And keep the content on my website, on my social media, fresh and interesting to people,
mm-hmm.
Which is what we should have been doing.
Yeah.
Dang it.
Well, and a lot of us were doing in our
right, job. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there is a lot that we have already been doing that as we spoiled a little that we were doing for Google, which is things like structuring our content, mm-hmm. using headers, using summaries, using FAQs,
yeah.
And saying things in a conversational way. Those were all things that were tactics we should have been employing. Now, mm-hmm. with some levels of success, some levels of not success, right?
Yeah.
But that's a great tip, to continue to do those things where you're, and I think later on we're going to talk more about page schema and all of that kind of stuff. I don't know. I've lost track and I can't. There's a chance that I can't read notes. but headers still matter. Organization still matters.
Yeah.
Lists. All of those things still matter because it still helps ChatGPT understand context.
Right.
In the same way that we have been told it helps Google understand context.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also, P.S., it helps people understand context.
Right.
Which really is what we should be writing for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you look at the journey of this content, like, you know, I think it's interesting to see how AI is just like this tool, you know, people have referred to it as an assistant, a consultant, mm-hmm. whatever, along the journey from idea to published content, you know, and again, circling back to something that you said at the top about how it's getting really good at prompting you for the next thing that you might need, you know, so You talk about headers and page structure and things like that. Well, after that initial set of content is generated, a question that you might get from ChatGPT or whichever one you're using is, do you want me to format this for you in a place that can be, you know, published to your web page with H2 tags and, you know, everything else that's necessary? And take advantage of the power of it to help you, at least with the first version of that. And then, yeah, sure, when you plug it into your website, you might need to do a little cleanup, but that's a head start that, you know, didn't exist before, you know, or you had to pay somebody to do for you.
Right. Whatever I was working on yesterday, maybe it was this podcast that I was working on, it also asked me if, once I had the outline, if it wanted me, if I wanted it to create some headlines for social media and some other things that I could, you know, so basically doing that thing that we've talked about for a while, which is taking one piece of content, blowing it up, getting it on multiple channels, like very smart. Still just a part of the hallucination that is happening in AI, because it's taking that from the best people in the business.
Right.
Who, you know, that's a tactic they employ.
Along with your own prior prompts to say, now I need a social media headline for this thing. Yeah,
totally. Right. Yeah. So let's talk about some other ways. We've gotten really deep into the thing that I think we spend most of our time caring about, which is how does it affect us as marketers?
But yeah.
It's not just marketing, it's consumer habit.
Right.
That is evolving. And, you know, we're all in this same sandbox together where we are asking it for marketing help, and other people are in that sandbox asking for things like shopping and price comparisons and reviews. And that actually, I went, when I started researching what we were doing, I went to try a few different things in there. And I got mad. I was pretty mad at ChatGPT because the thing that I was looking for, and I wanted ChatGPT to help me find, I already knew it was, okay, I want to buy a scooter. This is my whole deal. I personally, in real life, want a scooter.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm also very cheap. So I don't want to spend a ton of money. And a couple of years ago, maybe more, you could buy a used, like your little, you know, your little Spree scooter.
Yeah.
$200-$300
Yeah.
And you could tool around on that little sucker, I don't know, until the wheels fall off.
Yeah.
And it's $200 worth.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. Not a running scooter, not one with a title.
Yeah.
You need a title to go on the road. So I've been searching for like a year and a half for a good deal. So finally, you know, I saw that people are doing this price comparison and up to and including Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace, and it's able to search all of those places at once. I'm like, ooh, I want to see what you do. And it basically told me, listen, you can't find the thing that you're looking for the price.
Yeah.
Like, listen, ChatGPT.
Nice.
Why don't you
set you straight?
Find it.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So, but also, I don't know how many people know that you can aggregate a search like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just spend a whole heck of a lot less time manually searching, only to be like, I don't know why I'm not finding results for this. I don't know, you know, what is wrong with my search? What is wrong with Facebook Marketplace that's not showing these results?
Mm-hmm.
Where if, you know, I took it into ChatGPT and it's like, no, it's definitely not Facebook Marketplace, it's you.
Yeah, it's just straight up, these things do not exist for the price point you're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it gave me ideas of, you know, you could probably find that thing in running order. Like, it was interesting to say, because it went down the list of, you could find it in running order with a title that you could use, drivable right now, but this is the price point you would pay for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So a wealth of information.
Yeah.
And people can get that. I used it to search the best, I wanted to see what would happen if I just asked it, like, the best meal in Stevens Point under $25.
Yeah.
What? And I specifically asked, what do people say is the best place to eat with an entree under $25? And it gave me a list of 4 different restaurants.
Yeah.
And a little bit about each one of them and the types of entrees they have and some of the things that people say about the different restaurants. And it's, you know, restaurants are restaurants, man.
Yeah.
That is just as good as asking your buddy.
Sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting and a good use of it. And kind of interesting to think about how... You know, and again, just bringing this back to like what we should have been doing always, like if you don't have things like your menu published, if you don't have, you know, some connection to reviews or you're not, you know, actively encouraging people to leave reviews and things like that, like this information just won't show up when people are asking for it this way. So, yeah, that's funny how like it all feels so new and cool because it can all happen in one spot and everything. But the source of all of it is like the source that always should have existed.
Right. Right.
But, or at least since the internet came about. But
yeah.
Sidebar, but related. Can you imagine being like a consumer behavior professor at a school right now, like a university
or
something?
I would just retire.
Yeah. Right. Like, I'm out.
I'm done. I have no idea.
Like,
I don't know what a
how can you
is.
Teach any version of the curriculum that you taught in the last 5 years because of like how much change is happening because of stuff like this. I mean, now I haven't done the like shopping experiments that you've done in ChatGPT or whatever, but most probably just because like anything that I've been buying recently, like kind of knew what I wanted or I've found it through the channels I was used to searching or whatever. I haven't bought anything off Marketplace. I'm not looking for a scooter, but.
Okay, but let's counterpoint. Exclamation services scooter gang.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And jackets.
We should probably trademark that real quick.
And just the patch. We had a big patch on the back of a denim jacket. Anyway, please.
Yeah, I just see Sons of Anarchy in my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Which is basically what we'd be.
Right.
Like that, anyway.
Just a little less killing, maybe.
A little.
A little. Yeah. No, that's it. That's my digression. Just I can't imagine trying to teach this stuff to people because of just how constantly it's changing right now.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Yes. And one of the things that I get the chance to do is to be on one of the groups consulting to Mid-State, the technical college.
Mm. Cool.
And in the last, they do quarterly meetings, where they just get marketers together with the folks that teach marketing and talk about, you know, challenges and recruiting and different things that people are using in marketing. And AI was a huge topic there.
Yeah.
And their attitude is positive. Now that I've name checked Mid-State, I want to make sure I'm being very careful here. They're excellent at what they do. They're doing really good work, but there is this sense of like, we don't know how to teach. We don't, because it's pipeline for them, right? And by the time they would have taught people what we knew about ChatGPT in January,
right,
and they would have graduated in May, it's too late. There's everything is changed.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Bless their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We should pay teachers more, I think, is what I'm trying to say.
Hey, sounds good to me.
I bet. Okay, so shopping, travel. I don't want to miss any of this stuff. Customer service interactions.
Right.
Helping write emails and things like that.
Yeah.
I think I would be really curious to find out how much business time is being saved by people just consulting AI to write an email. Because sometimes...
Oh, for sure.
Those email, like, especially if you're talking about, you're trying to broach a subject that somebody, you know, a colleague, you want to keep a great relationship, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And just having somebody else write that so you're not second guessing
mm-hmm.
every three words.
Yeah.
Is that just me? That's not just me.
No. Yeah. No, it's interesting to think about like the time savings to write an email, mm-hmm. say things the right way. Maybe to avoid conflict, you right. know, whatever, right? I will say, though, like, I also wonder, just as more and more people's radar are up to AI, and especially with some really shoddy copy and paste jobs sometimes, like, how often does that backfire when the person mm-hmm. on the receiving end is like, you totally had ChatGPT write this.
Yeah.
And then people maybe dig their heels in a little bit more or object stronger or, you know, whatever. Or you just have to deal with that conversation. Like, hey, like, is this you talking or AI? And like, let's yeah. figure that out, you know. Not to say that that's wasted time or unproductive time or anything, because some of those conversations might just be necessary anyway. You mm-hmm. know, like, hey, have we talked about how we're going to use AI to talk to each other and
yeah.
with each other and keep things genuine and strategic and all those really important things. So I'm sure the net is a gain for sure.
Right.
But like, I also wonder how much time is wasted because people just not quite doing it right or seeing it as like a purely a shortcut and not right. like a right. strategic move. And
using it as a way to say, like, I don't really want to have to talk to you.
Yeah.
I want to
I don't really
want to
have
me.
To think about what's the, right. you know, best thing here for both of us. I just want ChatGPT to tell me. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you what, selfishly, as somebody who writes like ChatGPT with the emojis and the m dash
yeah.
and all of
right.
that, I want to know how long until somebody calls me out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have to say, no, it's just me.
Right. Yeah. No, I appreciate that about ChatGPT, like the M dash. I remember learning about the M dash and the N dash in school and everything. And I've actually like come out of habit of using them because I don't think people appreciate them or understand why mm-hmm. they're there and everything. And now, of course, it's like, dang it, I should have been doing it the right way all along. But
yeah. Well, you know, as somebody who can't stay on the same topic for more than about 15 seconds, I do find those very,
very helpful. Right. Yeah.
I'm a context person. I like to give you context.
Yeah.
That's what's always in there behind my M dash is you get context.
Right. So before we shift away to some quick tips, how are we feeling about, consumer habits. Have we talked about everything you wanted to talk about today?
Well, the question is where do we get, where do we insert ourselves?
Yeah.
Into those experiences? What can we as marketers do? And for right now, I think my answer to that question, I like to ask you a question and then answer it because I want to mansplain to you now.
Oh yeah. Well,
yeah.
Goes around, comes around.
Yep. exactly what we've talked about. Make sure that we are making our information available, make it human, make it palatable, make sure it is consistent across platforms. Do good work out there and make sure that we are visible.
Mm.
And that is going to feed some of the algorithm.
Yeah.
You know, make sure. I think the maybe, and I'm questioning myself. Did I read this or do I believe this or is this junk science? I think maybe a thing to think about, to experiment with, is because so many things have gone, have moved maybe toward images and then metadata with the images in order to get Google to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the shift needs to be back to words, back to text, and still metadata with the images, but making sure that everything is aligned, making sure that if you have a great image, you know, I think we see and we do a fair amount of things where it is, you know, the text is across the image.
Mm-hmm.
The most important information is on an image.
Sure.
And maybe this is, you know, a call for making sure that text is on the page, in the post, you know,
yep.
so that ChatGPT can find it.
Sure. Yeah, I guess I would say, like, thinking of the question being, how can we insert ourselves into these experiences? I think right now there's maybe a bit of a feeling or perception of the output being like AI behind the human work, you know, like AI supporting the human work. And I think that that is mostly how things are happening. And as it gets better and we use it more and there's more comfort and stuff, it might flip, and the place that we insert ourselves is kind of behind the final output. It's almost like it's humans behind the AI, the thing that is getting published or that people are seeing, because it's going to get better. There's going to have to be less like rework and all of those things. So we need to make sure that we're still involved, you know, that we're reviewing, that we're approving, that we're influencing what actually goes out into the world and not just doing the copy paste thing.
Right. And we're going to get, we are going to learn more about prompting, get more adept at prompting. You know, you already see people sharing great prompts.
Right.
So I think doing that robustly probably will help. And I think it behooves us to remember that these OpenAI, the information that they have in them comes from us.
Right.
So the better we are as people that are putting information out there that ChatGPT is going to crawl, the better the information is going to be. So keeping things, you know, having sort of a, having pristine habits about your business. So old information is gone, new information is in its place. Keeping everything, you know, clean and up to date informs what ChatGPT is going to find about you.
Right, Or any AI implemented into something like your website. Sweet. All right. Should we...
Quick tips.
Start to wrap up with some quick tips?
Yes.
All right. First and foremost, review your web content for clarity and conversational tone. So this is bringing us right back to the first point. Like, it's all about context. It's all about conversation, providing real, helpful, clear information and human information, like said in a human way and supported by supportive resources, whether that's images or data, whatever it might be.
Right.
So I would love to find a study that had some sort of a, like, I don't know what you want to call it, like conversational tone score or something that could give like a, I don't know, A through F sort of school grade example of like the conversational tone on companies' websites. And I wonder what like the national average would be, or the average within the credit union industry or something, you know. And I'm guessing that people probably aren't getting as good of a grade as they think they are, you know.
Let's build that. Let's make that.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
Yeah. The conversational grader.
Can I side note, I just want to throw this advice anytime you talk about conversational tone. If you are writing for your website, remember that people read to themselves like talking to themselves. So if you can't say what you're saying out loud, if it's hard to say, it's hard to read.
Yeah, sure.
So the very first step to making it conversational is it's easy to read out loud. And from there, like, make it good, make it charming, make it interesting.
Yeah.
But if, yeah, if that's what my M dashes are for.
Right. Yeah.
I brought it back to my
M-dashes. That's a really good tip, and I'll plus one or validate it. Because I feel like when I proofread your stuff, or when you ask for feedback on things, I feel like probably the most common, like, feedback other than a straight up approval that I give you is something where I say some version of like, these words trip me up. Like, as I was reading it, like going from this word to that word or this thought to that thought, like tongue literally twisted, or like my brain didn't quite make the connection, you know, whatever. So I mean, exactly what you're saying. Like, if you can't read it without like the speed bump, then you'd probably need to change something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I feel better having gotten that out.
Good. I'm glad.
It's all about me.
Yeah. All right. Next one. Test AI tools yourself. Understand how they think. And I say that myself, admitting I don't understand how they think.
Right. But that's what the testing's about.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
To see what it will do. I'm absolutely fascinated by, you know, every time I've had an opportunity to go and just ask it, you know, to find, I've done this with guests we've had on the podcast, just to see, like, tell me everything you can tell me about this person. And 100% of the time, if it cannot, if it's somebody who has a website and should have, like, we've had a lot of great guests. I'm trying to be very careful right now because I don't want to.
Do you want to call anyone out?
I don't want to out anybody. But if it's somebody who has a website, has a social media presence, you know, has all of those things, or should, in order to run their business, then to me, ChatGPT not being able to find them anywhere is kind of a red flag. So then I go and look and say, oh, no, actually, I can't tell any, I don't know anything about you. You have a lot of words, but all of them read like a LinkedIn header, you know.
Yeah.
Synergizing with my, I don't know,
yeah,
synergistic, fractional.
Clearly Sue has a trigger word. Got it?
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. The point is test, right? And and understand how the input affects the output and how these things think.
And what, and how you, if you can find yourself.
Yeah.
And when you find yourself, I know you're probably getting sick of hearing all the different things that I have tried. I also tried a, with one of our clients to have it give me sort of the social, the ostensibly, it would be, it's all probably based on Google reviews. It's reviews.
Sure.
Right? But it, what I was looking for was people's sentiment, the public sentiment about the client.
Sure.
And then asked it to compare, you know, basically prompted it as if I was looking for, you know, for what this business did.
Yeah.
And it came back and said, yeah, actually, I would go, instead of this one, I would go to that one.
Interesting.
That's not great.
Yeah. Yikes.
So that's, but it's good to know that.
Yeah.
So if you, if you're a business who relies on customer sentiment, and what business doesn't rely on customer sentiment, go out there and find what ChatGPT or any AI can tell you about your business. And if that is a thing you want to fix, you know, a place you want to grow, if you care how people feel about you, it gives you an awful lot of information.
Yeah. I love that. Super practical. Okay.
Okay. We're going back and forth.
Oh, right? Yeah. Sorry.
Are we or are we not?
Well, let's do it.
We're going to find out. So we talked a little bit about this. Explore the ways to make your brand part of an AI-answered conversation. So, again, that is making sure that your information is clean and clear. Structure that data, H1 heading, H2 heading, FAQs, bullet points, numbers, whatever it needs to take. Structure it and make sure that you are talking about your brand, because it is, it's crawling words.
Right.
And if you're not using...
And documents and...
Yeah. If you're not using your own name, if you're not putting your reputation out there, it's not going to find your reputation.
Ditto? Can I just say ditto?
Yeah, you can ditto.
Okay, perfect.
Sure.
All right, last one. Be safe. You know, and of course, this is, you know, maybe what feels like it should be obvious by now when we talk about AI, like uploading personal information and things like that. You know, at the end of the day, we don't fully know or fully understand like where this stuff is living, how it might show up elsewhere and all of that. So be safe, be smart, put together a policy, you know, and even if that policy is not super comprehensive, but just as like a high level way to get your team aligned on here's how we use it, here's how we don't. If you don't know something, this is your opportunity mm-hmm. to stop and ask, and we'll develop this policy more in the future or whatever. And then all the copyright things, right? So like the stuff that's created, you know, that's not copyrightable, you know? So right. Understanding that, and who knows, again, here's another role I don't want right now, a copyright lawyer, mm. you know, yeah. as like all of this stuff is growing and AI is influencing it. Like, oof, what does that look like in the future? You know, so be smart, be safe. I don't want to say like be conservative and don't test and try, mm-hmm. but, you know, just do it right. as mindfully as you can.
Yeah. I would say in terms of copyright, watch out for your own copyright.
Yeah.
Watch out for other people's, not infringing on other people's copyright. That mm-hmm. is definitely why I think we've pursued this best practice of take notes, bullet points, ideas from ChatGPT and let that inform what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't take something of whole cloth
yeah.
and publish it as if it's your own.
Right.
You yeah. know, and especially don't do that. Like, one of the things that we do on our website is if we have... if one of us writes a blog, then we list them on our website as the author.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So don't, for pity's sake, don't go on ChatGPT, have it write you something, then put it on your website listing you as the author.
Yeah.
So there.
We did it. Holy smokes.
So final takeaways. I think the big one is evolve. Or get lost.
Right. Yeah.
Be ready to pivot. And you're not going to be able to change everything overnight.
Mm-hmm.
You're not, if you're listening to all of this stuff and we have said terms you've never even thought about or things that feel like a whole lot of work to change,
yeah.
you're not going to change it tomorrow.
Yeah.
But that's why evolution is this slow process.
Yeah.
And if you are committed to evolving, then a lot of us are going to catch up.
Right, for sure. Yeah, and some of the questions that we have about it all are going to get answered. You know,
right.
I feel more like hopeful about it than I did maybe like a year ago or something. Like it felt pretty scary for a while there, just yeah. seeing like the pace of everything and all of the questions that came about, like, well, how does this work? How does that, how's that going to mm-hmm. affect this aspect of my life or my job or whatever, right? And I think as you experiment with it, as you work with it, as you test, you get more comfortable with the uncertain future and the pace and
right.
all of that stuff, which, you know, it's kind of interesting. For the last 5 years, I feel like this is just the way things work now, right? We just fly into the unknown and get comfortable with not knowing what the hell's going on.
Right.
But it definitely applies to ChatGPT. Just do your best to stay up to date and evolve, and it will feel better if it scares you. You know?
Yeah. You know, the thing that, exactly on that topic, the thing that really changed my attitude about AI in general is the course that we took through Masterclass.
Mm.
And the one expert in that AI course who, the quote was, all AI does is hallucinate. Mm. It's all a hallucination. It is all taking information, putting it together in a way that's meant to simulate a sentence.
Yeah.
So whether it simulates a sentence or not, or whether the sentence is correct or not, or any of that, ChatGPT is not worried about.
Yeah.
It's all a hallucination. And once I understood that it is learning and growing, but it is essentially taking everything that it can possibly access and putting it together in a way that seems to make sense based on the data it has, it became a lot less scary to me.
Yeah.
It became a lot less like something crawling up out of a big dark pit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's helpful or if it doesn't make any sense to anyone, but helps me sleep at night.
Yeah.
All right. I think that was a good conversation. I don't know what we did to people.
You've got that last line in quotes in the notes, and
I know
I
was afraid to skip it because it's so cheesy.
Yeah, and I can't read it. Okay. You got to read it.
Okay. Well, we're not saying Ben. It's so cheesy. We're not saying that ChatGPT is taking over the world, but if it starts writing your grocery list, maybe keep an eye on it.
For sure.
Check those. So cheesy.
Check those nutrition labels.
Yeah. Who even does this?
I love it.
Okay. Well, you know what I love? I love creating Osmology for our listeners, and we're always excited to have them here with us, so thank you for listening. You can always learn more about us at our website, exclamationcuso.com, and find us on the blog, exclamationcuso.com/blog.
Thanks, friends, for tuning in. Be awesome, and we'll see you next time. The Osmology Podcast is a production of Exclamation Services. Executive producers are myself, Ben Bauer, and my friend, Suzanne Campbell.
Thanks to Kyla Ganther for our show artwork, Scott Sager for booking our guest, and Alex Westerhausen for social media support.